I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Broadcasting from the shores of Lake Erie, bringing you the best in internet talk, it's Tuesday night. And time for the Russell Reed Show.
The Russell Reed Show is sponsored by Inca Tea. Inca Tea, this magical tea containing purple corn with its powerful antioxidants and thousands of years of Incan tradition. Inca Tea, welcome to the good life.
In your face, all over the place. Boyer Online. 24-7, 24-7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
This is the Russell Reed Show.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley Warhol from the band Warhols.
And this is Syra Marie with Cryptic Memoirs.
Hello, this is Jeremiah from Investigators of the Unknown.
Hi, this is Jen Anderson.
This is Jeremy Skaggs with Cryptic Memoirs, along with Tim Woods with Nice Water Paranormal Society.
Hi, everyone. This is Madam Melissa Keys.
This is Nikki Darley from Rock Rage Radio.
Hi, this is Cindy Harper, founder of Thumbs, and you're listening to The Russell Reed Show.
How's everyone doing out there? This is none other than Wilkins at Hispanic Hurricane Santiago.
Hey, everybody. This is Ryan Florio, the founder and CEO of Inca Tea.
This is Pat Quinn.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Mike Owens, a.k.a. BB Slam.
Hi, this is Nikki Paranormal, and you are listening to The Russell Reed Show.
Hello, I'm Brian Rice.
I am Michael Colangelo.
I am Tom Cat.
And I'm Samantha Cram.
We are Raging Fire.
This is Raya Dad, and you're listening to The Russell Reed Show.
Hey, what's up? This is Jackie LaPanza from Unsaid City.
It's The Russell Reed Show.
Welcome to The Russell Reed Show, ladies and gentlemen. With me is my good friend, Waylon Revis, former lead singer from the band Mushroom Head. If you're tuning in thinking you're going to hear him spill dirt on the band, minimize and get out of the stream, because we're talking about his future. We're not going to talk about the past. The past is the past. But what I do want to know, Waylon, is 11 years ago when you got that call and you're sitting in North Carolina, hey, we need you to come in front of a band here in Cleveland. What was your thoughts about leaving North Carolina to come to the home of rock and roll?
Get me out of here as soon as possible. there was no thought about it at all. It was opportunity. I wanted to do what I was doing, so I moved forward. I'd worked that hard to get to the point I was at then. As soon as I got the opportunity, I was going to take any door that opened for me. So there was really no second guess about it. So that's how that went.
Now, were you guys at one point in the same spot that they heard you, or how did they discover you?
I had opened up for Mushroom Head.
Okay.
I had been on tour with them, and that's how we got to know each other. They recorded my album for the Horse Head, and that's how we got to know each other.
Okay. So I was just wondering, North Carolina and Cleveland's a far away, and somewhere your paths had to cross.
We crossed quite a few times by that point.
Very cool. Now, what is... And a lot of people think the music business is all glitz and glamour.
It's because how it's perceived, you know. It's how everybody thinks it is. Everybody thinks everybody's a millionaire, and it's not. And music business is a dirty, lost business right now. Like, we don't even know how to make money off of selling our music anymore, because the whole business has been flipped on its face, and it's not the same business it was. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've talked with a lot of different producers, and then I started doing some, you know, Google research, as I call it. There hasn't been a gold, silver, or platinum record released in years, because everything's down low downloadable, and the sales are more who could bootleg what. Now, somewhere down the line, you have to get that CD to download it. But as a writer, producer, singer, how frustrating is it that your music can't get out there to where you can put it in your back pocket, where everybody's going to bootleg it, and you're based on merchandise that shows?
It is what it is. You just get over that. Yeah, I mean, you gotta accept this is how it is. It is what it is. You have to accept it, or it'll drive you crazy. It'll make you say, "I'm upset." You can't stand yourself. You just gotta get over it, because I mean, it's like there's nothing you can do. You can't take it back.
Okay.
You can't take that back. It's already went there, and nobody gives a shit. Nobody's got enough moral about themselves not to do it. You know, not to illegally download it. And kids are going to do what they don't want to do. So it's okay. Like, fuck it.
Now, growing up, who are your influences?
Tool, Korn, Sepultura, Fear Factory, Pantera. Thinking, you got me early in the morning. That cup of coffee is actually kicking the brain up. I've already said that. The Doors, a Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath. You know, just anything that had an interesting sound that really separated itself, that wasn't typical. You know.
Okay.
My name's Waylon. I'm named after Waylon Jennings, so I have like a Johnny Cash, Waylon, Willie background. Got them in there. But like, honestly, nothing really influenced me as much as Korn did. Korn and Tool are like the top two bands that really influenced me on like vocally and what we were wanting to do.
Now, fast forward 11 years, you're down in Australia, you run into Korn.
I did, and now I'm really good friends with Brian and Fieldy, and I go see the guys that we know each other by name. You know, they have my numbers, we have our contacts. It's kind of odd, you know, being that 16-year-old kid on the bus stop listening to Blind. So now I'll be like, hey, I'm going to call Brian today.
I mean, is that what you, when you were sitting on the bus stop years ago, did you ever say, one day I'm gonna be with them, I'm gonna meet them, or it's just...
It was, I wanted that, but, you know, I didn't think that would ever happen, you know, but here I am, and that's how it is.
Now, we won't name the band, and we won't, but when you came in, they were a local act.
Yes.
I'll call it the way it is. I mean, people listen to my show, I don't pull punches.
Okay.
I'll give them a regional act. When you came forward with them, you made them global.
You
went to the Soviet Union, you headlined huge tours, concert, big outdoor venues, and you went to Australia. Was that always the plan in the back of your mind, or was that just you knew what you wanted, you had that sound, and it just happened?
That is what I wanted. It's like, why be in this business if that's not what you're going to do? If that's not what you're shooting us to do, why even do it? You know, it's like, I didn't get into the business to be mediocre, and I didn't get in not to play these huge festivals. This is the stuff like Ozfest back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to play this stuff, and you know, playing Australia, being on the Mayhem, you know, headlining tour after tour after tour. That's when I got in, you know, and that was the plan, was to do that. But did it pan out financially like I wanted to? No, it didn't. So
I'm glad you brought that up on like the Mayhem tours, Ozfest. You know, that when you go out on tour, you're usually the headliner. I know the headliners, get the most money, then it's a trickle down.
Yeah.
Now, when you do a festival, when you're one of 200 bands, literally, or figuratively, I mean, some of them are huge, some of them are smaller. Do you just basically do it just to get the exposure or to sell merch?
Pretty much, yes. Unless you're one of the bigger acts, you know, you're not really getting paid that much. You got to go out there and bust your butt, and it's merchandise. It's all merchandise. Make your money back on the t-shirt. You know, go out there, make it stink. Get them to see you, they're like, oh, I gotta get their shirt. They are awesome, bro. I gotta get their shirt. That's how that works. Unless you're the big band that's hitting the 200,000 $1,000 a night, you know, how much they're getting at the main level, you know, that's, you know, you go work your ass off.
Now, let's talk about genres real quick. The band you were formerly in and the type of music has many names.
Yeah.
I usually call it industrial metal. Is that a safe...
Yeah, I wouldn't call it industrial. I really wouldn't. I've never seen it as industrial. Industrial has that, you know, electronic metal sound, and they didn't, you know, it didn't have that sound. I would say it was more experimental, you know, a little bit of new metal, with keyboards and hoo-ha. You know, it wasn't industrial, because I wouldn't call it Nine Inch Nails. You know, I wouldn't say it sounded like Nine Inch Nails. I wouldn't say any of that. So.
Okay. I was trying to, it's always hard. There's certain death metal, black metal.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It was a different sound.
They are who they are. Like, you think of that group, it's that group. So I guess their style of music would be Mushroom.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, the reason I asked that is radio play. Korn will get radio play. Tool will get radio play.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the acts you've been with don't get as much love except for college radio or podcast or internet radio or what have you. What is it, just a financial that Korn has all this money they could drop in the advertising and pay radio stations to get them on to where you guys and the band acts you were with didn't? I mean, how does one get...
Well, I would get radio play with the certain songs would, but it's like, you got... Well, it was like beer. It's acquired taste. You either like it or you don't.
Okay.
You know? And it wasn't for the masses. Like, honestly, it's not for the masses. And Korn, a band, is for the masses. You think about that? Their sound, something about it, just everybody liked it.
Even when they redid Another Brick in the Wall and some other stuff, it was uniquely done.
It sounded like them, but they have a sound that crosses over. The group I was in, I don't see it happen. We were like beer. It was either put a bitter taste in your mouth and you didn't like it at all, or you loved it. There was no, it's all right. I never heard a comment of, it's all right. It was either, this sucks or this is great.
Okay.
And that was, if you really think about it, that's how it is. You will not find, well, they're all right. No, you'll get somebody that absolutely will die for it, or you've got somebody that did shit under their shoe.
Okay.
It was never in between.
Now, looking ahead, you got a lot of irons in the fire, and we're going to leave that for another interview when you're ready to drop everything. But are you keeping the sound that you're known for, or have you tweaked it and gone to a different direction where people will be shocked to know that was you?
Well, nobody's known what Waylon was going to do in the first place. Every album, I did something different. I think I'm going to be Waylon. That's it. There's no tweaking of my sound. You know, it's like, I am who I am. This Friday, I start recording the Unbroken album, which is Unplugged. And if you ever heard me on Rover doing acoustic, I'm able to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm able to cross over. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm lucky enough to have the ability to do any style I want. I'm lucky enough. If I want to do country, I can do country. If I want to do metal, I can do metal. If I want to do pop, I'll do pop. I am lucky enough to have that ability. So that's kind of where I'm going with it now. It's like, I'm not gonna limit myself to one style. I'm not gonna be, I am this or I am that. No, I'm Waylon. And Waylon's a free soul, he's gonna do whatever the hell he wants.
Very cool. What we're gonna do, we're gonna take our first break and be right back with Waylon Revis in just a second.
Revis, Revis.
Revis.
When darkness falls.
with my friend Waylon Revis. And we were, before the break, we were talking about your upcoming projects you're doing. A lot of artists now like to do duets.
Okay.
Who would be on your list?
Honestly, right now, nobody, because I've done a duet for the last 11 years, and okay. I'm done with that. I don't want to sing with anybody. Okay. But if I was, it'd be, if I was to do, and I wouldn't even call it a duet, I'd just call it a collaboration.
That was the wrong word.
No, duet was with a female.
Yes.
But if I was going to do a do that, two guys, Jonathan Davis or Maynard, straight out.
The two guys I want to do. Very cool. Now, you came from North Carolina, decent weather. Welcome to Cleveland. 11 years of hell.
It's not that bad.
No.
Y'all make it out like it's man, it gets cold, but fuck it, dude. It's weather, man. It's like, down south, y'all wouldn't survive the summers. Y'all talk about how cold and hell no. You go down there in the summer, and you'll feel hell.
Oh, yeah, South Carolina, where you get out of the shower and never dry off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, everybody complains about the weather up here. I love the snow. Like, that's one thing I'm going to miss, not being here. I love the snow. I can get out of this shit. I love it. I don't give a damn. Everybody says it's hell. It's like, hell no, it's weather. At least you have seasons.
This is true.
At least you have seasons. And you know, you get the four seasons. There is a spring here. There is a summer. Well, a mild summer here. You get a fall, and you get a winter. As long as you're getting that, you're good. There are some places it is summer all year round, or it is winter all year round. It doesn't ever change. And this is, you know, everybody complains about Ohio weather, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's good weather to me.
And you're heading out to L.A.
So I'm going to miss all of it. There's going to be one season, summer.
And that's because of all the recording studios and all the opportunities that are out there?
Yes. I'm not really wanting to live out there or anything. I'm just doing it because it's right for the business with me. It's right for my move. And, you know, it is a financial move. It is, I want to go where, you know, everybody thinks that they can do something. Well, I know I can do something. I just want to go put my stamp out.
Okay.
Back there.
And then you're going to be finishing out your album, EP.
It's an EP. I'm going to do that here.
Okay.
And it will be out next month, actually. It's that fast of a turnaround. It doesn't take me 2 years to write an album.
There's a shot, and we know who the shot's to.
And you know,
but you are right.
It don't take 2 years to write an album, and it damn sure doesn't happen sitting behind a computer.
And it's funny, you said that, you know, you can say that, then someone could turn around and say, well, Guns N' Roses took 11 years, and
that's enough said about that.
Yeah, he had to clean himself up. Yeah, well, in and out of rehab, but for 11 years, you were going to take a little time to write an album.
Yeah.
Now, I found this interesting. So you could literally be on the road, you know, doing your thing and record, just stopping somewhere, do a quick recording, send it to the producer, over the internet, and he could master
it. Producer? I've never, as long as I've been with my other group, I've never worked with a producer other than one person.
Well, I meant whoever is putting the album together.
No, I've never, I've never done anything on that. Me, I'm going to the studio. I've hired a producer to come in and sit right there. It's the first time I've worked with somebody outside of, that's not in affiliated with the group.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was always somebody within the group. Screw that. You need a voice that doesn't sit in the group. It's not biased. It's not,
it's got to be this, it's got to be this. It's got to be power. It's got to be what I want.
No, no. Shut your fucking mouth and fucking listen to somebody else for a moment. And that's where I'm at with it. Like, I've always wanted to work with a Ross Robinson or a Bob Rock or anybody, you know, a producer, somebody that comes in that's not in the band, that listens to the music and tells you, you know, helps you along the way. It's like, I've always wanted that, and I never got it. I never got it. It was always one person, end all be all. You had to get through that person, and if you didn't make it. And then he's also on the album, so it's like, why are you the fucking producer?
Does that hurt your creative juice?
Yes, it does. It stifles the shit out of you. It's like, you have no business producing your own album. None. Because that's the thing, it's like, you're too close to it. You are. You can record it, you can engineer it, and you can produce it to an extent. But after you produce it to that extent, it needs to go to another producer.
To fine tune it.
Yes, to fix the shit you just fucked up. You know, okay. It's like, it's, I never agreed with that. And it is what it is, you know. It's like, that's how that ship wants to run. Well, you can run that ship all the hell you want. That's why it is what it is, and that's why it's going to stay where it stays.
Okay, now, going with your new EP.
Yes.
You have, I'm sure you have a lot of music and a lot of lyrics which you haven't really tied together, but you have a lot on paper and,
yes,
and all that. How hard is it to sit there and go, well, this is what I want? And funny, we were talking about when your influence is Pink Floyd, and over her shoulder we hear, you know,
yeah,
another brick in the wall. How difficult is it to narrow down what you want to have on your EP?
It wasn't at all. I knew exactly what to do. I had an album that never came out.
Oh, okay.
And before I joined Mushman, it was called The Indifference of Good Men. And there were songs on that album that, you know, there are demos on the internet, but they never really got to see the light of day. They never really got that push that I wanted to get pushed. And then I got 11 years of experience now, and that I didn't have back then. Well, I called the guys and we're redoing that, but I'm doing it acoustically. I'm doing these songs, not the heavy stuff, but the stuff that was more vocally dependent and more ambient and had a feeling to it. So I'm doing that. It was just like, I want to do these songs and I want to do these covers. So
okay.
You
know, and is that also to show your range as a performer?
It is, but it's also to suit me.
Okay.
It's to actually calm the beast. And it's actually to, it ain't for you, it's for me. And it's called Unbroken for a reason.
Okay. Very cool. Now, when you sit down, do you have the melody that comes first and you just play the guitar, or do you have lyrics or something you want to say and write it down, then you try to figure out the melody from there?
Well, back in the day, I used to practice, and that ended for 11 years. No practice, no nothing. Like, we jam, but there's no jamming, you know. It's like, there was no band. It was business. It was always business. And back in the day, I would just dream of stuff. I would get a jam tape, I'd listen to it, I'd come up with a couple ideas, I'd go to sleep, and the whole song would write itself. And, you know, I don't know many people that do that like that. I don't really write typical. And then, you know, I joined the group I was in, and it was all behind a computer, and it was never real. It was never... It never felt written together. It felt like it was just a cut and pasted thing that was just contrived. You know, oh, this is going to be this way, and we're going to take this part, we're going to move it here, we're going to move this part here, and then we're going to vocal, 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 and it, like, none of the vocals really ran together and seemed it didn't have.
It was
that,
very mechanical.
Very mechanical. It did not have that seamless flow that a real song has. So,
and that's what I said earlier about being on, you can be on the road and send it to someone. All you need is the melody, and you can lay your track down, exactly. Send it in. Someone can lay the guitar track down. And
it took me a weekend to do the song I did with Dead by Wednesday. And I forgot how easy it was. I honestly did. I forgot how easy it came to me. For lack of a better word, I didn't have you've got to get through me, and the kid in me right now is laughing, going, no, I don't need to. But it was very easy for me, and I sent it to him, and it's like, I remember who I was. I remember, it's like, oh yeah, this is easy. Oh yeah, I don't need to worry about this kind of stuff. Oh yeah, now, I do love what I do.
Yeah, what inspires you to write? I mean, world events or personal things, or just something comes in your head and you just put it on pen and paper?
It just happens. I'm just one of those guys. I'm so open to the world, and I'm so open. I'm such an open book, and I don't have a filter. You're liable to get anything out of me. That's okay. The real thing. And I think that's me being an artist, you know. It's like I am just an open, just a channel for things just to come through. And that's kind of how that works for me. It's like I don't sit down like, I'm going to write about world peace. Never. It just happens, you know. It's okay. Just like... It just something spurs in my brain, and there it is.
All right, we're going to take our second break, and we'll be right back right after this.
It's the Russell Reed Show.
Joining me right now is Pulse Fitness icon Zariah Judd. We're going to talk real quickly about next level training. Hey, Zariah, welcome. And what exactly is next level training?
Well, next level training is probably the fastest way to conquer Pulse Fitness.
Okay. And is this for men, women, children, and any age restrictions?
No, preferably 18 and older, but as long as you're with an adult, if you're younger and your parents are okay with it. But it's for men or women, or it doesn't matter body type. It doesn't matter how advanced you are already. What it is it's kind of a speed training to get you into like all the advanced moves and all of like the combos and transitions that people want to get, that they usually spend years training to get. I do it in a boot camp style training where it's done in like 3 or 4 days.
Fantastic. Now, how can people find out more about next level training?
If they email me, ZariahJudd@gmail.com, then I can forward all the details. It is different depending on the time of the month, like that it is, or if there's a promo going on. So if they email me and ask the questions, I can I get back really quick via email.
All right, fantastic. Again, that's next level training with world icon pole fitness expert Zariah Judd. Again, for information, it's ZariahJudd@gmail.com. Check it out.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
This is the Russell Reed Show.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley Warhol from the band Warhol.
And this is Tyler Marie from Big Memoirs.
Hello, this is Jeremiah from Investigators of the Unknown.
Hi, this is Jen Anderson.
This is Jeremy Skaggs with Cryptic Memoirs, along with Tim Wick with Mayflower Paranormal Society.
Hi everyone, this is Madam Melissa Keys.
This is Vicki Darley from Rock Rage Radio.
Hi, this is Cindy Harper, founder of Thumbs, and you're listening to The Russell Reed Show.
How's everyone doing out there? This is none other than Wilkins and Hispanic Hurricane Santiago.
Hey everybody, this is Ryan Florio, the founder and CEO of Make It Tea.
This is Pat Quinn.
Hey, what's up everybody? This is Mike Owens, a.k.a. BB Sling.
Hi, this is Nikki Paranormal, and you are listening to The Russell Reed Show.
It's The Russell Reed Show.
Better than all the rest. Better than anyone. Anyone I ever met.
show is sponsored by Inca Tea. Inca Tea, this magical tea containing purple corn with its powerful antioxidants and thousands of years of Incan tradition. Inca Tea, welcome to the good life.
Welcome back to the Russell Reed Show.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking the time and actually wanting to speak with me.
Oh, I am honored.
Thank you.
I mean, I've been doing a lot of unsigned artists and giving them the opportunity and to have somebody that really knows the industry, and that's what we're going to, after this one comment, we're going to get into to help them out a little bit.
Okay.
To kind of guide them a little bit. Over the summer,
okay,
we know there was a little controversy about the battle flag of the South.
Oh.
As a Southerner, what is, in your honest opinion?
I've never put it on a mask.
I was going with the mask, but the whole...
I'm going to flat out say it.
Okay.
If it had been up to me, that would have never happened. Flat out. That was a ploy and attention getter. There was controversy going around it, and that's all it was. It was to make money, and that was a wrong move. I understand both sides of the argument. On my side of it, I have family that fully supports the battle flag, and they will fight with their dearest to hold on to that, and I respect that. And then I respect the other side of it that sees the hatred from it and what it's been used for. Me personally, I want nothing to do with it. So there you go.
Okay.
My father raised me to understand you give a man face value and let him prove who he really is. And you don't prejudge and you don't do anything. You let him prove to you what kind of person he is. You judge his act off him, his actions.
As Dr. King says, a person should be judged not by the color of the skin, but by the content of the character.
Exactly. And you know, how hard a man works, how much he loves his family, how much how big of a heart does he have? Not off of race, creed, religion, sexuality, none of that. None of that matters. None of it. And being that I am religious, and yes, I am. I'm very religious. People don't read the book that as good as they say they do, and it tells you straight up, do not judge, because it ain't my place. I will never judge you. That's not my... I'm here... I have my own flaws, so how am I going to judge you?
Very cool. Now, one of my bands I want to send this out to is called Cryptic Memoirs.
Okay.
They're out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
They have... Their biggest problem right now is Siren and Jeremy, her husband and wife.
Okay.
And they are the two primary band members. They are having a hard time filling the rest of the act.
It's really hard once there's a relationship involved in the group. Personally, I think you should keep it out of it. Relationships, don't really work when you have business, pleasure. You don't mix business and pleasure. It never ends well, because say the relationship ends, the band's over. It doesn't work. I'm not telling you not to do it, but there's already enough problems already when you've already met in a group. But when you throw that relationship into the group, you're throwing your personal problems in with it. You say you two have a bad day. Well, guess what? The band's had a bad day because you two are here. So you got to think of it like that.
Okay.
It's a separation, It's like I could never, ever, 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 ever sing with my loved one. I couldn't. How Johnny Cash did it with Linda is beyond me.
they were having trouble with drummers and guitarists. They said, go the way Trent Reznor did.
Do it yourself, yes.
Go in the studio, hire backing musicians. When you go on tour, audition and do it that way.
You have your tour drummer, have your studio drummer, but keep it between you two. Because honestly, that's as far as it's going to get in the first place. it's going to just get between you two. And nobody else's opinion is going to matter because you already got two people that are on their relationship. They're married. You ain't getting through that. You're not. Yeah, I don't care who you are. You know, and they're, the, I guess, the leaders of the group. So you're not going to get through that. So my best advice to you is make everybody a hired gun. And you two be in control of everything.
And that's kind of what Trent does with the Nine Inch Nails. And
exactly.
He's had no problems.
None at all. It's dictators like that work.
Now, this would be a good question for you. For all the unsigned bands, and you're with your new one, you have opportunities with Universal and everybody else. BMI or all the big labels are courting you. For those who don't have that opportunity, how do they get noticed?
Oh my God, good luck. It's a very get out there, do it, make a fan base. They're not going to pay attention to anything but that. You got to prove that you're going to actually do something for them. Labels aren't like they used to be. They're not going to just go out and find you. They're not going to come to you. You got to go to them. Why do you think I'm going to L.A.? Even that with me. You got to go put yourself in front of them before anything. But you got to go ahead and have something that's marketable, and they're going to make money off of it.
Okay. Because I know a lot of them have that pop sound, so that might be a little bit easier to get out there than...
Well, with the pop sound, there's a couple guys that wrote every pop hit for the last 10 years, too. And they're songwriters. With a pop band, you got to understand that. You got to buy those songs. You got to spend the $30,000 or however much money it costs and buy that song. Because there's a couple guys. And you go watch the Grammys and you'll see it. These songwriters are the same guys every year. They have the number one hits. These guys know what the hell they're doing. And they write the song, they sell it, they produce it, and bam, it's a hit. They know what the fuck's up.
and it's funny you said Grammys.
Yeah.
That's the pinnacle, that's the Academy Awards for musicians. When do you think your genre of music will get the love it deserves?
Never.
Never?
Never. No, never happen. If it does, I'll be shocked. I will be shocked. I would love to see it happen, but it's just not. You know, it's... Metal's always been in your face. Grammys are not. Grammys are R&B is everything. It's like these... Granted, do I think that a lot of these rappers should be winning Grammys? No, I don't. I don't believe that. I don't think metal will ever get that far. Metal is not mainstream. Metal is not. Grammys are more mainstream now.
Okay.
Back in the day, they were more based off of artistship and greatness. I don't think it's quite what it was, but I don't think metal will ever. They have their little genre, and it doesn't even make TV time. So.
No, and I was going to say, everyone criticized Metallica for selling out with the Black Album, changing their sound. Now, is that to sell CDs, to get mainstream airplay, to get on the Grammys, if you would, or just that's just where they thought their genre was going?
I just think it was who they were at that time. I don't blame Metallica for what they did. I like the Black Album, but I love Master Puppets. I love Kill 'Em All. I like Metallica. The thing about it is, it's like, put it this way, man. It's like, this is what we do for a living. If you're working at Burger King and you got something happen, they tell you do something a certain way and it's going to make you more money, you're going to fucking do it. You know, it's like, it's not selling out, it's buying in. It's like, okay. This is entertainment business, show business. There's a show and there's business. Like, you got to have both of them. You do.
Okay, and I know what my last segment's going to be, but now, what kind of advice would you give up-and-coming artists?
Do it because you love it. Do it because it's in your soul. Do it because if you didn't do it, you would lose sleep. You know, you wouldn't be whole. Don't do it because you're going to get drugs, you're going to get laid, you think you're going to make $1 million, because two of those things will happen, one of them's not. But do it because you really love what you do. Do it because you're an artist. Do it because you love to sing. That's why I do it. I do it because if I didn't do it, there would be a void in my life that I could not fill. If I was not singing, that would be something that would just, it would tear me apart. And everybody's like, well, you can go into acting, you can go into motivational speaking. And it's like, yeah, I could, but there would still be that void of performance. Like, for me, it ain't really about the damn song, man. It's about performing. It's about making somebody smile. It's about, you know, like that kid that has nothing else to look forward to but your concert. And when you're there, you see that moment of relief for them. And that sometimes makes me a millionaire inside. That right there will make me feel like it was worth it. And honestly, that's why I held on as long as I did with my former group, was for that feeling for those people. And I'll never turn my back on that.
And it's funny you said that. Just, a question popped in my mind. You guys did a lot of small venues. Then you also did a lot of festivals. You know, thousands and thousands of people. Which one do you prefer?
I love both. They both have the both aspects. But there's one thing I would do at both venues, and this is shocking. You would find me in the crowd at a small venue, and you would find me in a crowd at a festival. I would always go out, and I would always make myself available. Granted, you're going to have a better, easier time finding me in the club than you would the festival, but the fact is, I was always out there. I was always out there. Never one to sit on the bus and feel how great I was and my powerful world. I was always out there because I remember who made that happen. And it ain't the band. It's the fans. And it, to this day, it's something happens and I blow up. I may have to go in an incognito costume, but you'll find me out in that crowd. You will find me.
Well, you could always, you know, it's funny, unless they don't know you as the title, this is the man behind the mask. If they never met you outside of, you don't need to be incognito because you could just walk around
well,
and know.
Well, people really start to understand what I look like now. And like now that all this happened, I've had a lot more press. And it's like, I'm more popular now than I was. And with the stands I've made and the things I've said, people are more interested in what I'm doing now. And I'm shocked. You know, I'm just like, I'm not even doing music right now, and you're finding me way more interesting.
Yeah, and one of the things I've wanted to do an interview with you for a long time, and I kept getting the man and his woman saying, well, you have to go through the publicist, you gotta go through the
bullshit.
Lawyers
bullshit.
I'm like, what?
No, that's a cop out. You want to interview with me, like, I have a manager, but you are able to cut through that. I do have a manager. You send me on my fucking Facebook. You send me on my Facebook, man. I'll do an interview with you. It's just like, you know, they talk about that, but, you know, that's just a cop-out bullshit. They feel like they're Alice Cooper or Kiss or something. It's like, man, we're not that great, man. Take what you can get.
All right, we'll be right back right after this break.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
This is the Russell Reed Show.
Hey everybody, Russell Reed here. With me is Ryan Florio, the CEO, founder of Inca Tea. As you know, Inca Tea is my sponsor for the show. Hey Ryan, what is Inca Tea?
Hey Ross, yeah, Inca Tea is a Cleveland-based tea company that specializes in exclusive teas derived from an ancient Incan recipe with over 1,000 years of tradition. And we use a heavily high-rich antioxidant purple corn, which is the only tea in the marketplace made from purple corn, and that's how the ancient Incans used to make all their teas.
Very cool. What flavors of tea do you have?
Yeah, we have four flavors right now. We have a Peruvian spice berry. We have a mountain of mango, both of which are herbal blends. We also have a black tea. It's Tehuantan black tea. It's made with three different types of black tea leaves, two of which are organic. We also have a white tea with peaches, rosehip, and hibiscus, and that's called our pick-me-up peach. We're getting ready to launch two new blends, which is pretty exciting. We're launching a chamomile blend and a green tea blend with a little bit of coconut.
Very cool. Now, what's your website where people can find out what stores you're in? Because you are everywhere, and it'll be a lot easier for them to look you up that way.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a geolocator based on people's zip codes. So if you go to incatea.com, which is incatea.com, in the top left-hand corner, you're going to click on a little button that says locator, type in your zip code, and it will tell you exactly what stores we're in closest to you. But yeah, we're it's been a blessing in disguise. We're in over 200 stores right now in the region.
Very cool, and thank you for your time.
In your face, all over the place. Boyer Online, 24/7, 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
This is the Russell Reed Show.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley Warhol from the band Warhol, and this is Tyler Marie from Big Memoirs.
Hello, this is Jeremiah from Investigators of the Unknown.
Hi, this is Jenny Anderson.
This is Jeremy Skaggs with Cryptic Memoirs, along with Tim Wick with Mayflower Paranormal Society.
Hi, everyone. This is Model Melissa Keys.
This is Vicki Darley from Rock Rage Radio.
Hi, this is Cindy Harper, founder of Thumbs, and you're listening to The Russell Reed Show.
How's everyone doing out there? This is none other than Wilkins and Hispanic Hurricane Santiago.
Hey, everybody. This is Ryan Florio, the founder and CEO of Incatea.
This is Pat Quinn.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Mike Owens, a.k.a. BB Slang.
Hi, this is Nikki Paranormal, and you are listening to The Russell Reed Show.
It's The Russell Reed Show.
Russell Reed Show is sponsored by Inca Tea. Inca Tea, this magical tea containing purple corn with its powerful antioxidants and thousands of years of Incan tradition. Inca Tea, welcome to the good life.
Welcome back to the Russell Reed Show. I am with Waylon Revis, and we're talking music and all the good stuff. A band is like a family.
Yes.
And when I'm around my family, it causes me to drink heavily.
Yeah. Same thing goes with the band.
Well, and you went down to Australia.
Yes.
36 hours on a plane. Then you've been across the country on a tour bus. For the up-and-coming people that dream the dream of being in a band, how uncomfortable and miserable is the road?
You better get used to bad smells, uncomfortable, awkward situations, walking in on things you don't want to see. You better just get used to that. There's no ways around it. I have experienced and seen things I could never forget. I wish I could.
You wish your brain wasn't at your sketch, just shaking and...
Just shaking this go home. Oh my God, I've been scarred.
Now, of all the places you've been, what was your favorite place?
Australia.
Australia?
I loved Australia. Australia is just this island. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's just utopia, man. It's an amazing place. It's just like you get out there and everything can kill you.
It was a penal colony for a reason.
But it was such... It may be in a penal colony, but those people are wonderful.
Yeah.
Australians are wonderful people. And... it being the first, I think I'm a bias because it was the first place outside of America, another continent that I stepped on. But it'll always have a special place in my heart.
And it's funny, you see it on a map, and you don't realize how big it is.
It's huge. It's fucking huge. I had to fly everywhere.
Well, yeah, and you know, a mutual person we know, she went with you. She said from, what was it, Perth to Melbourne? Was it a 12-hour flight or...
It wasn't that long. I don't think it was that long.
But, I mean, it was a lot longer than you would think it would be.
Oh, yeah. It was
from one coast to another coast.
Yeah, oh, yes.
You know, it was.
It was five, 6 hours because it only takes 6-7 hours to get from here to LA, and I'll show you it's not bad.
Yeah. Now, what was the weather like?
Hot. It was really hot when we done it, but we quit, you know, in February, and that's summer down there.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I couldn't judge on like the different seasons down there. But when I was down there, it was fucking hot.
Now, with the group you were in, you were known for wearing masks. And that's latex.
Uh-huh.
And 100-degree weather in the shade.
Shit melts on your head is what it does.
Like, oh, it did?
Yeah, it does. You feel that stuff breaking apart and just...
And, you know, I did a lot of coaching football in the hot weather. They always say, you know, hydrate.
Same principle applies. Hydrate, keep yourself hydrated because you're out there performing. You are, especially with a group like that, you are exerting yourself, you know, like an athlete. Like there's pictures, you see pictures, I'm jumping, I'm screaming, jumping, running, crowd surfing, standing on stuff. Yeah, it's the same difference. Keep yourself hydrated because if you don't, it's going to, you know, you're going to right over and down.
Then you went to the extreme. The Soviet Union. Well, it's not Soviet Union anymore.
Russia.
What was that experience like?
That was... We're not Americans over there. It's like, you're not an American anymore, son. Get used to it. And it was a whole different world. People are people, though. You know, nothing changes, just governments. But, yeah, you knew you were not in America. It was definitely a different culture.
But there were a lot of videos on YouTube of you guys over there. You could look at that video and somewhere, maybe at the Agora here in Cleveland or in Pittsburgh or Detroit, and the crowds are the same.
It's always the same.
Were you surprised that you had that international touch like you did?
Oh, yeah. That's awful. That is shocking. And there was a saying, it's like, save us. In Russia, speak a different language, but when we did save us, stop. They sing the same part the Americans do. You know, it's like, wow. You know, that's a really good feeling when, you know, there's a language barrier, and they still sing the song. That's awesome. That was the coolest feeling.
One of the things I saw was on YouTube was of Evanescence. Amy Lee was singing My Immortal, and she stopped, and everybody kept singing the parts, and she just kind of looked and just mouthed the word, wow.
Yeah, exactly. That was the same opinion I had. Wow.
Now, would they come up and say, okay, we're ready to put you on tour? Those two are top of your list?
Yes.
And would you like to spend more time in Russia or
that? I would love to just go to Europe in general and do Russia with that. Hit Germany, England. I have a lot of fans that I never got to play for in these countries. And they always begged, when are you coming here? We never would. And I never did. Well, trust me, when I make it happen, and I will find the means to make it happen and actually get across the Atlantic for the Europeans so I can finally perform for them.
Is the metal over there different than the metal here?
It's huge over there. It's huge. But it just never worked out for me in the group I was in to go there. So.
They just didn't want to, or they didn't have the opportunity?
The financially, it just never made sense. They could never dumb things down enough to make it feasible because the water drums and stuff. They just couldn't ever make it happen.
Dumb question, what is a water drum? I always thought it was a drum that had water on top of it.
Yeah, that's huge, and you gotta ship it.
Oh. Thank you for that. Instruments and all that. When you landed in these countries, were they already there, or did you have to ship them?
They were there. We rented stuff. Australia was backlit. We brought samplers and keyboard, and we were able to bring like iPads and stuff, and just our instruments. But when you're over there doing a tour, you know, we have water drums built in Russia, and they're still sitting in storage. And in Australia, we didn't use them at all. That costs a lot of money, and that's why. You land over there, and then you fly line guys and then crew and then, you know, other people. And you're spending $24,000 just in flights.
And the record label, not having a back of a record label, or it's all on you.
Yeah. And that's all your advances at once. And then you start out in the hole. And you got to work your way out of the hole. Well, it's not, there's nothing guaranteed. You may never get out of the hole. Nobody may show up. You don't know. So, that's kind of how it is.
Wow, I mean, I'm glad we talked, because it's interesting, that side of it.
That's the truth of it. That's the thing. That's what it is.
And when you go on the road, you know, you have the tour bus, and you haul everything with you, and are they still called roadies?
Yeah, they're still roadies.
Okay, and they'll set everything up, you do your sound check, the rest of the time it's just relaxed.
Yeah, I tried a couple times to bring up the fact that, hey, let's hop in a van, let's do it ourselves, but nobody want to do that. But I don't care what they said, we'd have made, if you cut out all that crap, cut out the bus, cut out that, just rent two vans and put a trailer on it and take all that, you'd make so much money, especially the way that they had done it. But no, we're too big for that. No, I'm not getting up before noon. I'm not doing that. So, there you go.
For your fans, when you do a tour, are you going to get on stage on time? the band he used to be with, for those who are just tuning in, you'd be scheduled to go on at 9, you might show up on stage by 10.
Well, that's not always our fault either.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's not always the band, because sometimes, you know, local acts or opening acts, they take their time on stage, they think they're rock stars, they go over their time limit. You know, well, you got a band next. Well, how fair is it for the first band that sucks ass to take up an extra 15 minutes and then make the bands that actually rock lose that 15 minutes? Well, you keep adding on to it, then sitting up, it's not always the band's fault.
I thought it was part of the mystique.
No,
you wanted.
No.
Okay. It was the legitimate.
That's actually legitimate.
So, what are you most excited about in your future?
To see what I come up with. To see where this crazy mind goes. You know, future's unknown. And there's a lot of untapped feelings in me right now. And there is no hand on top of me. And I just want to see where I really go without that hand up my butt trying to make me a puppet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Any particular bands when they found that you're a free agent said, hey, we would love to have you be the new lead singer. Anyone
reach
out?
There's been a few, but I'm not gonna say any names. There's been a few though. Nothing I've wanted to do though.
Okay.
Nothing I've wanted to do.
Well, we're going to take our last break, and we're going to give you an opportunity. We'll be right back.
back to the Russell Reed Show. I am with Waylon Revis. Okay. You got a lot on your mind.
Yes.
Here's your form.
Where do I start?
Wherever you would like to start, and you know, I'll just let you just run with it. And if there's something I want to ask, I'll grab something in there.
Honestly, it's just being that this up for them, you know, it's like, guys, after you get done, let's just get off the computer for a little bit. Go out and do something. Enjoy your life, man. Life's too short to live in your own world, and life's too short to, you know, not look outside of it and realize how lucky we are to be here. Be a part of that world. Go out and help somebody. Go out and go outside and find somebody a little bit more misfortunate than you, and do something for them, because trust me, you'll feel better if you do. Because like, I've lived my life in a way to where I'm more appreciative of that, because like, I did live that. I am a god in my own world for many years, and I regret it. And for each one of your listeners, I don't wish that on any one of you. I want you to realize, no matter where you get to in your life, no matter what point you're at, you're a part of a cause of this world, you know, part of the thing that keeps it running. Go be a part of it.
Very cool. And seeing that the hand of oppression is now out of your ass and off the top of your head, do you regret the last 11 years? Do you think you should have done what you've done earlier, or was it all a learning experience?
It's all a learning experience. I appreciate what was done for me. I appreciate what I was given, but I don't appreciate that nobody wants to give me credit for what I did. You know, it was always something else. It was always this, and I gave. It's about, but what about the fact that I said that, and I did that, and I wrote that, and that did well, but you did it? So, like,
I mean, like I said in the open, you know, a lot of people in the industry credited you for saving the band and putting it in a direction to where everything is, you know, where they were. Now that you're gone, they're going to go right back down the porcelain prints, if you would.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I appreciate that, but it is what it is, you know. It's like, if I was able to do that there, and I'm pretty sure I can do that somewhere else, and I can do it on my own. I'm pretty positive on that, because you know, I'll never get that credit from there ever. I didn't get that credit while I was there. I'm just an expendable face, and that's not true. It's like, I'm Waylon, and that's good enough for me.
It's funny you said there was an interview with Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, and he said for many years he had an LSD addiction, lead singer disease.
Yes.
You know, talking to you for this hour, I don't see that in you at all.
I've humbled myself. That's the thing. It's like, I had it. I did. I'm not gonna lie about it. We all do. We're singers. There's a void in our lives. We are looking for that attention. It takes a special type of person to walk on that stage and do that. Like, not everybody can do that, you know.
And you're right. I have no problem being high in the microphone. You know, talk to me doing the rock millions and millions.
Yeah.
But you put me in front of maybe five kids with the microphone on the stage, I am not comfortable doing that.
You put me in front of 5,000 or 50,000, man. It lights something up in me, and I want to make you smile. I want to do that. I was meant to do what I do, but I was meant to do other things as well, and maybe set a change. You know, it's like, I did this to be immortal. And as weird as that sounds, it's like, I dealt with death from a very early time in my life, and the only thing that ever really came true to me was I was going to leave my mark to where I was never forgotten after I'm gone. That's my goal. You know, that's kind of, that's the immortality of it.
One of the things I always say when I hear of someone passing, I say the key to immortality is first living a life worth remembering.
Yes.
And you know, you have a book, you know, and you
just put, all you gotta do is sit down and just write it, and your fans will sell very well. Like you said, the past 11 years is a Jerry Springer show.
Oh god, you're not even kidding, man. It's like, I don't even remember three of them. Man, so does that make it eight?
Yeah, I had a friend say, well, if I don't remember it, it never happened.
Exactly. It was a learning experience. Granted, now that I'm out, I think I should have left years ago and done this. And I'm not going to lie about that. I always seen the writing on the wall, but I didn't want to read it. And I didn't want to see it for what it was. But now that I'm out, like, I see all the BS and all the bad decisions. And just, I see the dictatorship of what it was. And as much as I didn't want to be a yes man, I was a yes man. And it was like, now I'll never be a yes man again. Now I'm gonna do what I want to do.
And I don't know if this will help. When I first started this, I was always with a station, and I would pay for a chair time. And what bothered me was when I would have a guest call in, a producer, and I'm doing finger air quotes, would come on and just kind of ruin the flow. And I thought to myself, how the hell can you call yourself a producer? I'm the one that booked the guest. And then I finally got away and found, you know, the little form I'm using right now. I am my own boss. I have no one looking over. I don't have a format. I mean, I could go from you to a paranormal investigator to someone who hunts Bigfoot to an up-and-coming actor to a local sports star. You're going to find it a lot more entertaining not to have to report to anybody.
Well, I don't have a problem reporting to anybody. I just have a problem when I'm not given what I'm earning. That's my problem. I don't have a problem working for a man. I'll work hard for a person. If you take care of me, I'll work so hard for you, and I will give you greatness every time I turn around. Take care of that person. That's my problem. My problem is when a man's got a family to feed, and he's got a house to pay for, and he's got children to send to college, and all you can think of is you. That's the problem. You know, and I know, and when you know how much you're doing for the group, and you're not getting your just dessert, why be there?
Well, that brings up one more question. For someone that's joining a band, you know, it could be anyway, how do they... You took a leap of faith when you came to Cleveland, and for a little bit it paid off. Then over time, as you said, you started seeing the writing on the wall, ignored it, then finally you started reading it. How does one take a leap of faith like that?
You got to want it. You got to know in your heart that there's nothing ever going to take its place. You got to know that this is it. You got to know this is what I was meant to do. And you take that leap of faith, and either you land or you're flying on your face, but you got to take that leap. No fear. I know it's a cliche thing. No fear. You got to go. You got to do. Get to step in or don't. You know.
Okay.
You can't hesitate. If you want this, you got to want it now. And when that door opens for your opportunity, you got to swing through it and be like, I am here. Or bow out and join the rest. You know.
Okay. Now, finally, trying to figure out how to ask this. I know how to ask it, but I don't know how to ask it. If people want to hear your music, Waylon's music, not who you were with for 11 years, where can they find that?
Well, you just go to the Waylon Revis fan page, and trust me, I'm just as active there as anything. Is pretty much Waylon TV, all Waylon all day. You're going to be able to get my next new album next month in December, the Unbroken album. It'll be on iTunes, and I do believe it's going to be in Best Buy, Way.
Okay.
You'll be able to pick that up.
I don't have a release date yet, but I do know that we're getting that out next month. I want an album out by the end of the year, so there you go.
Oh, and a few months.
No, next month.
No, I mean, you want to produce it and write it and get it out in a few months instead of a couple years.
I'm doing it. I start recording it Friday.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm taking my shot, too.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be that quick, and that's a point. I'm going to show you. I don't need that. I don't need that, and I damn sure don't need to do it on a fucking computer. I don't sit there and need to write on a computer and take good guitar riffs and cut them up and make shit that I can play. If you can't play, go take a fucking lesson.
And it's going to be an acoustic album.
Yes.
Unbroken?
Unbroken.
Look for it on iTunes, your fan page. When it's ready, you let me know. I'll drop it on all my social media.
Oh, yeah, and you will find it on WaylonRivers.com, too. So.
I have a .com, but I've just never built it. paid for it, but yeah, I got to get that done. And I'm looking to get that done first of the year, and I'll drop that on there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate this, and you know, we'll do it when you get everything ready. We'll get you back on and promote the hell out of it.
Thank you very much, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, Waylon Revis.
Get out and go do something.
Till next time, patches your woman, saying take care of your balls. Now take care of your balls.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're still here?
Maybe do it again sometime?
It's over.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our show.
Go home.
Now.
The show's over.
The party's over.
Can you leave immediately, please?
I want to see motion and movement. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Get the point good.
Now get out.
I'm Casey Kasem. Thank you for coming by this evening. Keep your feet on the ground and your dick in your pants. Now kindly get the fuck out. And oh yeah, please drive home safely.
Have a good night, everybody.
Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back.